The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2011 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2011. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the Internet. If you would like to find out more about the work of ACCS, please visit our website at www.accsedu.org. To order additional talks from this conference, please visit the ACCS website and click on Conferences. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
A blessing into Latin. She used it every day with her class before lunch. Pro sanitate et fortitudine et cibo quotidiano Deo gratias. Amen. And translated, that means for health and strength and daily food. We give you thanks, O Lord. Now, if you want to integrate further, you could take that English portion and sing it, use it in music. For health and strength and daily food, we give thee thanks, O Lord. Amen. That's just another way to integrate. All the practical points we share today are things that you can weave into your daily classroom use. And all God's people said the magic word integration. Repeat after me. Integration. C is for color. Art is usually taught throughout the grammar, logic, and rhetoric stages. A basic way to incorporate Latin would be to share the names of the colors with the art teacher, who may want to integrate by using Latin terms in some of the lessons presented. D, drama. Right outside our door, and with the Veritas Press display, you will see Dr. Seuss's book, The Cat in the Hat, in Latin. You may want to pick it up. Our children had a great deal of fun with this. We had a drama opportunity in fifth grade where I chose excerpts from this book, and the students presented their peers with a delightful and entertaining play. Be Creative, also available in Latin, Green Eggs and Ham, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Go to your bookstore and browse in the children's sections for mythology and foreign language selections. Amazon.com has a plethora of titles of children's books now available in Latin as well. Enjoy your search.
The sun did not shine. It was too wet to play, so we sat in that house all at Coco Bucket. In bare touch of Dan Fleur, Erky Awesome Snumper Fleur, tied it into Snuff Manera, and Dunk on Cosessal Splendera. So all we could do was to sit, and we did not like it, not one little bit. Don Sedamus Sociosi, Somnolensi Stomachosi, Dicoserai Dislatera, Mihi Semper Sixedera.
They had a great deal of fun with that, and they had quite a bit of memorizing to do, but it was all, they counted it all joy. E is for excellent integration. At our school, it's become a tradition each Christmas assembly to sing Adeste Fideles in Latin. Non nobis Domine, Psalm 115:1, is our school's song, Not to Us, Lord, Not unto us, but to your name be glory. Does your school have a psalm or a song which you could translate into Latin? Go Knights is, the Knights are our school mascot. Go Knights is the cheer that they use on the athletic fields every day. The children loved learning how to say this in Latin. Ite equites, go Knights. My principal suggested that I go to the lady who is in charge of our school store, and suggest that we're going to have some pencils made up this fall with our school cheer, Ite Equites in Latin, for the students to be able to purchase. I'm sure you have similar customs at your school that you could adapt to. to make them fit your routine. One of our teachers is very gifted with the expertise of sign language. After translating Great Is Thy Faithfulness into Latin, we invited her to share her talent with our students. And here's an example of the finished product.
Magna fidelitas, O Deus Pater, nomen sumbracan versionis, suno mutas misericordia tua, tu semperes, idem semperes.
Love to perform, and they certainly enjoy. This is where our heart is in the classroom, so it's great that you can see these excerpts every day of what we do every day. F stands for fabulous literature. In the rhetoric school, our students are exposed to works such as Dante Alighieri's Divine Comedy, which is literally peppered with Latin phrases and expressions. Also in the rhetoric school, in their study of great books, they're reacquainted with some of those mythological characters they met at the grammar stage. And this happens again in Milton's Paradise Lost. They love to become reacquainted with that three-headed dog, Cerberus, who guards the gates of Hades. May I read a brief excerpt from the introduction to Paradise Lost in Latin? Qui legis amissam paradisum grandia magni carmina Miltoni, quid nisi cuncta legis, res cuncta cunctarum primordia rerum, ex fata fines continet iste liber. You who read Paradise Lost, the magnificent poem by the great Milton, what do you read but the story of everything? The book includes all things, and the origins of all things, and their destinies and ends. Now, I've had students come back to me years after leaving Grammar Latin, saying how they still use their trusty Cassell's Latin Dictionary as they delve into Dante's and Milton's great works. G stands for genus and species. Now, on the table in the back of the room and at the front, we have two tables. You will find a few concrete examples of integration from our students in grades 3, 4, 5, and 6 available for your perusal after the talk. At Cary Christian School, our third graders learn corresponding Latin names for the birds that they study. Fourth graders are required to know the genus and species of insects. And in fifth grade, students are challenged by learning the Latin names for the seashells they collect and for which they prepare reports, while sixth graders submit projects concerning leaves, again learning Latin names for each specimen. H is for historical poetry. Horatio at the Bridge, another book that very well may be available outside the doors of this room, is retold in modern English. And it's an example of an ancient poem about three Roman warriors who held an army of 50,000 at bay. Now, boys at the grammar stage enjoy learning and committing to memory excerpts from exciting bellicose poems. At the same time, you're setting the stage by whetting their appetites for further enjoyment through their study of Shakespeare in the logic and rhetoric schools later on, and historical poetry and literature that they will meet later. Memorization of excerpts from Horatio at the Bridge provides them not only with notable facts about Roman history, but it familiarizes them with the rhythm and rhyme schemes which they will study at length in the rhetoric school. On the grammar school level, Latin scholars are familiarized with macaronic verse, the practice of inserting Latin vocabulary into English poems or stories. This practice helps them to commit to memory in a fun and novel way the vocabulary that they're working on. An example of the macaronic verse is Carmen Possum, the Possum Song, and that again is available on the back table. Integration of grammar. The value of integration of English and Latin grammar speaks for itself. It is our constant aim as Latin teachers to reinforce the skill that the language arts teacher is teaching in language arts class. One method I would like to stress is the ages-old method of parsing. Let's begin with this example. Jesus is the name above every other name. The first noun in that sentence is Jesus. Noun, Jesus. Kind, proper. Person, third person, spoken about. Number, singular. Gender, masculine. Case, nominative. Syntax, subject of the sentence. Let's go ahead and parse the other two nouns that are left. Name. Noun, name. Kind, common. Person, third, spoken about. Number, singular. Gender, neuter. Case, nominative. Why? Because it is the noun that follows the linking verb is, and it's a predicate nominative. And the last time name is used is a noun. Noun, name. Kind, common. Person, third person, spoken about. Number, singular. Gender, neuter. Case, objective. And syntax, it is the object of the preposition above. Now, this is an easy exercise that can be used not only in English grammar, but in Latin grammar as well. J stands for juxtaposition. Many times I've been asked why I teach the students about the pagan mythology and history of the ancient Romans. It is to show them that stark contrast between the pagan and biblical worldviews. Juxtaposition is a tool which can be used effectively across the disciplines. Be creative in showing your students these contrasts. For example, in the Christian worldview, we're told to live for Christ and enjoy eternal life with him. Those Romans, in their pagan worldview, had a pagan motto, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." No thought of the afterlife. Christians espouse freedom in Christ. And in the Roman world, there was much slavery in many, many senses of the word. Humility is the benchmark of a Christian, and power and might were the cries of the Romans. Christians set about to build the kingdom of God. The Romans, in their pagan worldview, set out to build a vast material or physical empire. Now, these ideas can serve as springboards to many fruitful discussions about pagan versus Christian values and the need to hold fast to our biblical worldview. K stands for kitchen resources. We are constantly reminded of the role which the five senses play in teaching any subject. An enjoyable way to incorporate the senses of taste, smell, and touch would be to bring in a sampling of the foods which may have tickled the palates of Roman children in ancient times. You would be amazed at the number of our students who have never seen a dried fig or eaten a stuffed date. Many have never opened a pomegranate to discover the sweet gem-like seeds within, nor would they think of snacking on a handful of walnuts or almonds instead of M&Ms. Just as an aside, when my children were young, they thought that the only reason for French fries was to serve as a vehicle to get the ketchup to their mouths. Ketchup was their favorite condiment. Children today are appalled when they hear that a fish sauce was the favorite condiment of the Roman children, and fish sauce was made by the process of taking the entire fish, insides, outsides, everything, putting the fish in the pot and boiling it down until it formed a thick condiment, and they put this on everything. Kids today prefer ketchup. By the way, be sure to check for allergies before you proceed with this. And in case you'd like to sneak in a few M&Ms, remind the children that the letter M in Roman numerals is 1,000. Another example of how you can further integrate. And all God's people said, integration. L stands for liturgical links. Our school calendar coincides beautifully with the liturgical calendar. What a perfect opportunity we have at the Christmas season to share stories, songs, Christmas carols, pictures of the Christmas season. In ordinary time in February, the children hear stories of the martyr St. Valentine, and we have them make Valentine cards in Latin for their parents. Paul tells us in his epistles that if Christ had not risen from the dead, then vain is our faith and vain is our preaching. I've prepared an Easter standoff, which I'd be glad to send you if you'll contact me. It utilizes all the Easter vocabulary. Some of my examples of the standoff: Credo in Unum Deum, I believe in one God. Biblia Sacra Est Verbum Dei, the Holy Bible is the Word of God. Sum Discipulus Christi, I am a follower of Christ. Iesus Est Rex Iudeorum, Jesus, King of the Jews. Resurrexit sicut dixit, alleluia. He has risen as he said, alleluia. M stands for music. Music is at the very heart of our academic experience at Gary Christian School. Whether we are singing simple songs which jog our memories of words and processes we follow in learning Latin, or whether the lovely sounds of fifth grade chorus students singing Panis Angelicus, music inspires integration. Making melody with our students, from singing Happy Birthday in Latin to celebrate each individual birthday to Jubilate Deum, reminds us that we please God when we make a joyful noise.
Conjugation of Amo. In class, what does Amo mean?
I love.
Good. Are you ready? Here we go.
Amo, amo, so much. Amo, so much, so much. Amo, amo, so much. Amo, so much, so much. I love you, love you, love. We love you all the way love. I love you, love you, love. We love you all the way love.
Thank you.
I love hearing Latin with a tint or just a little hint of a southern accent. And notable names in mythology. Woven through the study of literature, our students will find references to the Olympian gods and goddesses of the Greeks and their Roman counterparts. Whether you're reading the works of Dolaire or exciting tales from the Usborne books at the grammar level, or they're meeting these mythological characters once again in the rhetoric school, I would encourage you to avail yourselves of the books in your library or tap into your Latin teacher's arsenal. There's a wealth of materials available on mythology. Remember again, Amazon.com has many selections, as does your local library. gather a bibliography and share with your students some of your favorite stories. Oh, Ocean Life Studies. Oh, I'm so sorry. Excuse me. Can't leave this one out.
Welcome to the last portion of our assembly. The myths of ancient Greece and Rome have made vast contributions to the classical literature and art in our culture.
Join us as we share through a brief sketch of the major Olympian gods and goddesses we have in our course of Latin studies. You just may want to dig deeper into their stories for yourself.
Welcome to the world of drama, tragedy, war, vengeance, excitement, intrigue, and imagination.
We are privileged and blessed to know the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the magnificent plan He has for us within the context of our classical and Christian worldview.
My Greek name is Zeus, and in Roman mythology, I am known as Jupiter. I am the king of the gods and rule over all from my throne on Mount Olympus. I demand respect and often request ambrosia, the food of the gods, and sweet nectar, the drink of the gods. I get what I want. My symbol is the thunderbolt and the eagle. I preside over the natural world and am often being credited with giving rain, snow, thunder, and lightning to the earth.
My name is Apollo. I have the same name in both Greek and Roman mythology. I also have a twin sister whom the Greeks call Artemis and the Romans call Diana. I am the god of music, archery, music, and poetry. I have many interests such as music, prophecy, and medicine. Tall, dark, and handsome, that's me.
Nearly everyone has heard of me, Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love and beauty. The Romans have heard of me as Venus. I am very beautiful, and I love to flash my sweet smile. I was born from a sea foam on a scallop shell. How unusual. I'm associated with the dove. My plants are the rose and moon. I am the daughter of Demeter, Ceres, the Greek comet Persephone, and to the Romans, I am known as Proserpina. Quite against my will and my mother's, Hades, also known as Pluto, made me the queen of the underworld. Ask him how we got the four seasons. Now that is quite cool.
I'm a party god, Dionysus to the Greeks and Bacchus to the Romans. I like to mingle with mortals, and often I've seen wherever people are enjoying dance, music, revelry, and general mayhem and madness. Moderation is foreign to me.
I am Helios, the sun god, and I am one of the lesser Greek gods. Why do I think I am so important? It could be because if my responsibility was to drive my chariot of fire across the sky pulled by four flaming steeds, causing sunrise and sunset every 24 hours. Now there's an important job.
I was very busy last month to the Greek god known as Eros, the god of love. The Romans call me Cupid. My arrows travel wherever they will, uniting hearts or breaking them at my whim. Valentine cards and wishes feature me as I go about my business. Of course, the bow and arrow are my symbols, and the chirps often accompany me on my adventures. We hope we've given you a little taste of the many adventures found in the study of mythology as it relates to the classics. We are enjoying our journey through history from Mount Olympus to Greece, Rome, and beyond. Thank you for joining us.
It's amazing what you can do with a few white sheets. Oh, Ocean Life Study. Once again, I'd like to invite you to take a few moments to examine the material on the tables for this project before you leave the session. As with any of these displays, feel free to contact me by email for more specific information, as you may want to tailor these samples to meet your specific needs in the classroom. P, periodic table of the elements. Here's a little science for us. Students at our school learn the periodic table of the elements symbols in grammar school in fifth grade. they notice right away that many elements don't match their English name, but rather find their roots in the Latin words. For example, here's an effective drill with the catechism method approach with flashcards. I say PB, you say lead. PB? I say AU, you say gold. AU? I say SN, you say tin. SN? I say FE, you say iron. FE?
Iron.
I say NA, you say sodium. NA?
Sodium.
The students see the connection to Latin in this scientific study. This exposure serves as a springboard to their more intensive study of the elements and thus the same periodic table in their study of chemistry in the rhetoric school. Q stands for quid est. This question, quid est, what is it or what is this, is one of the most crucial questions students and teachers alike can ask, and it is key to successful integration. Inquisitive students are our joy, and we as teachers must be inquisitive as we ask ourselves that same question when we seek to integrate. What is this? How does it relate to what I have just taught in another area? What are the connections I can make to show relationships? How can I go from the known to the unknown with this particular concept? In the process of integration, questions are not only welcome, they are critical. An inquisitive mind is key to integration, and the reverse is also true. Integration sparks an inquisitive mind, thereby solidifying the knowledge that emerges when students connect those dots. R stands for Roman numerals. In math class, students love to have fun with Roman numerals. After performing some simple calculations in addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, they soon come to realize the reason that the use of Roman numerals dwindled and Arabic numerals became much more practical. Let's look at those two numbers on the screen. 348. C, C, C. X, L, V, I, I, I. 1,888. M, D, C, 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 L, X, 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 V, I, I, I. Pretty long. Roman numerals are taught both in math class and in Latin class, once again providing us with an excellent opportunity for some fun integration. And once again, all God's people said, S for solar system. In science, students at the grammar level study the solar system, stars, constellations. Latin teachers may want to concurrently teach the Latin names for some of those constellations. For example, Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, Cassiopeia, Canis Major, Canis Minor. And when we get to the planets, we reinforce the names of those gods and goddesses. For example, Mercury, the messenger god, Venus, the goddess of love and beauty, Mars, the war god, Jupiter, the king of the gods, Neptune, the god of the sea. The solar system and study of these constellations give the students an extraterrestrial place to connect the dots and integrate. T, the Bible. Here's an example of one of our fourth grade classes reciting from memory the Lord's Prayer from the Latin Vulgate. In the rhetoric school, students will be exposed to the study of Greek. And I find that their experience with grammar Latin and exposure to selections from the Latin Vulgate provide an excellent foundation for exploring the New Testament and its new connections to the Greek.
Oremus, let us pray.
Pater noster, qui est
You may be seated. Very good.
U stands for United States Facts. United States history is a very important component within our curriculum. What a joy it is to hear the grammar facts in song. As we go through the halls of the grammar school, we hear the students enthusiastically singing their United States and Capitol songs, the President's Song, reciting sound-offs about explorers and inventions. Fourth grade novel studies integrate with history and their study of the Civil War with the novel Stonewall. And their study of inventors relates well to a biography about Thomas Edison. As Latin teachers, we can take advantage of these topics at the same time by interjecting stories of Roman wars and inventions, as well as early as third grade, teaching the children the Latin state mottos. I always enjoy asking the children the state in which they were born and teaching them the Latin motto of their particular birth state. Some examples: Arizona, Ditat Deus, God enriches. Virginia, Sic Semper Tyrannis, thus always to tyrants. North Carolina, Esse quam videri, to be rather than to seem. South Carolina, Dum spiro spero, while I breathe I hope. Alabama, Audemus iura nostra defendera, we dare to defend our rights. New Mexico, crescit eundo, it grows as it goes. And in a recent class of 22 students, I had 10 different birth dates represented. Have fun with this aspect of integration. V is for vocabulary, one of our favorites. Here's a perfect place to talk about those prefixes and suffixes, derivatives, and the joy students experience when they can break down a word, and decipher its meaning simply because they know the Latin root or roots. This process occurs at every level of learning. Throughout the grammar, logic, and rhetoric schools, I dare say it happens to all of us throughout our lives. I'd like to share with you a sentence and a brief exercise which you may be able to use at any level of learning. It's called the 5-step vocabulary exercise. The first thing we ask the children to do is read the sentence. Secondly, we ask them to look at the underlined vocabulary word or words. Third, guess the meaning. Fourth, go to the dictionary to find out the correct, accurate meaning. And finally, rewrite that sentence in your own words using a synonym or synonyms. So the sentence, the pastor admonished the multitudes to consider the fate of their immortal souls when they made choices about their behavior, became to our students the shepherd or leader of the flock, pastor, warned, admonished many people, the multitudes, to consider the fate of their souls, which will never die, immortal, when they made choices about their behavior. Again, this can be adapted at any grade level. W stands for wars and weapons. A great project which you might like to integrate with the art teacher is having the young men design and construct Latin standards similar to those which the Roman legions carried into battle. The young ladies might want to design a scutum or shield and create a family coat of arms with symbols of things that are meaningful to their family name or to their families in particular. Now, during Spirit Week, our students in the rhetoric school have a catapult competition. They actually build catapults. Here's a picture. Making history come alive makes integration exciting. Make those connections. And once again, all God's people said, integration. Extraordinary benefits. The 7 laws of teaching readily adapt to integration and vice versa. It was wonderful the way George Grant began his talk this morning with the oneness of all things in God. Whenever we present a lesson as educators, we remember that the teacher is directing learning. The learner is engaged in the actual process. The language is the common thread that weaves through the whole tapestry. And again, we teachers have our common threads. We have a handy packet of common threads all the time. The finished product should look like the tapestry. The lesson is the weaving of those facts. The inspiration is that we come together to see the big picture. Now, when we have our students reproduce what they've learned, whether it's a simple exercise like writing their words three times each, or a more involved project like building a catapult, they are reproducing what they've made their own. Reviewing solidifies that knowledge, and it's the perfect way to reinforce that integration. So we take all the elements that are becoming, and we end up with what is being. You can do it. One of the most encouraging things I can leave with you this morning is the fact that God never gives us a job to do without equipping us to do it. It's one step at a time. If you're the new Latin teacher and the principal has just said, guess what you're doing this year? You're teaching two levels of Latin. And you're a bit appalled by the magnitude of this task. Remember, it's one step at a time. Use the gifts that God has gifted you with. If it's music, use music in the classroom. Poetry, the same. Art, drama. Use those tools and follow the master's example. Weave that tapestry. The last letter of the alphabet is Z, and that stands for zeal. Jesus had a passion for what he did. And we, the more time we spend in the classroom, we see how bountifully he shares that passion and that zeal with us as teachers. Let us imitate Christ in his zeal for the kingdom and for those children that were gathered around him. Remember, our life experiences provide us with a variety of raw materials from which to draw. God's Holy Spirit is our constant source of inspiration. And God's Word tells us clearly that he amply gives wisdom to all of those who seek him in earnest. My prayer for each of us this morning is that God will increase our zeal and our passion for him and for his work as we labor in the dawn of everlasting results. We have a brief time together now for questions and answers, and I'm leaving my Gmail address on for you so that if you'd like to contact me throughout the year, I had the privilege of having lots of time in the classroom, and every year I learn something new, and I'm glad to share whatever I have with you. So feel free to contact me as you'd like. And again, I'll open the floor for questions. Yes. Not formally. We don't use that formally. But, we have a wonderful language arts department in our school, and a lot of emphasis is given to writing and all the components of language arts, but we don't use that program specifically. Any other questions? Yes. I've seen that. We at our school use the Wilson primers 1, 2, and 3. That's our core curriculum, and we've been using it for years and have found it very effective. But I've examined several different curricula, and there's a lot of good material available out there. We at our school, we teach Latin 3rd grade, 4th grade, and 5th grade. I'm not familiar with starting Latin in first grade. As I said, our program and most of the programs I'm familiar with have started in third grade at that level. Are there any other questions or comments? Yes. Oh, in third grade, our basic third grade curriculum introduces the children to about 350 vocabulary words, and they learn the basic, the endings for the different conjugations and declensions. It's a lot of rote learning in third grade. Fourth grade is a lot of application of grammar. They're actually translating sentences and building those skills and applying them. And then in fifth grade, we even go into Aesop's fables and have them translate some actual fables. The program builds each year. It gets more involved, and the children really do a great job with it. And they're hungry for more by the time they get to that next level. Yes. I believe that there has to be a solid foundation in grammar. In fact, one of the things that I think is so important is relating that English grammar to the Latin grammar. Children, immersion, I think, is great for people who are going to be learning a language that they can use every day, like French or Spanish. But Latin is not one that you don't go into a restaurant and order in Latin. And there's not a lot of daily exposure. But the rootedness of Latin in all the areas of our grammar is so important. That's why I think that grammar approach is so important. And, of course, it just expands their vocabulary. And when we study the culture of the country, of the Romans, that just gives them a rich taste of where it all came from and where our roots are. So I believe that grammar is extremely important. Are there any other questions or comments? Yes. It's an excellent time in their lives to show them that we humans always are seeking to know the answers to things. And when we don't know the truth, we'll sort of wing it and make it up. And I always tell the students in third grade, you know, boys and girls, the Greeks and the Romans did not know the one true God and his son Jesus. And they didn't understand a lot about the things we just take for granted in knowing in modern science and medicine. And so they had to come up with the answers. So when they wanted to explain that thunderstorm, they said, you know, Jupiter, the king of the gods, was angry, and Vulcan was creating lightning bolts to throw at his people. They came up with a story to go around that truth. And I explained to the children, these are not true stories. And aren't we blessed to know the truth in Jesus? But they really enjoy the story part. And as I said, it is part of literature. When your students get into high school, they're going to be reading things that have so many references to mythology. So it's good to let them be exposed to it at an early age so they'll know where it came from. But they can clearly, when they've come through our three stages of grammar, logic, and rhetoric, they can discern the truth and appreciate their biblical heritage. I'm going to give you a few moments now to peruse the tables. And again, I want to thank Betsy Bates for helping me this morning. She always does such a wonderful job. And again, feel free to contact me or come up with some questions. And have fun weaving. God bless you and have a good day.